Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this February the 14th on the West Coast, now February the 15th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network as well, and we hope everybody had a great weekend and a great holiday. Today, we celebrate St. Valentine's Day, and that's where people express their love and affection for one another. Now, I'm reminded of something that occurred, I think it's been almost 5 years ago. It was a Miss USA teen competition, and there were some words of wisdom shared with one of the with the audience and the world eventually, when Miss South Carolina was asked the question about why Americans can't read maps. And considering with what's going on in the world today, you would hope that we would know something about reading maps. Anyway, I wanted to, first of all, revisit the response to the question during the Miss Teen USA pageant. I believe it was 2006.
Okay. Recent polls have shown a fifth of Americans can't locate the U.S. on a world map. Why do you think this is?
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and I believe that they should, our education over here in the U.S. should help the U.S. or should help South Africa and should help the Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future for our children.
Thank you very much, South Carolina.
And since that time, our future is being built, or it's being destroyed. It depends which side you would like. Now, this clip I just played has relevance. It's not so much that we're making fun of someone here, because that's not what we're doing, but we're showing what someone who is in the throes of the U.S. educational system, cannot focus on a simple answer, and in fact demonstrates exactly the real answer to the question as to why Americans can't read maps. And if this young lady's any example, there are a lot of things that we can't do. Here we are now celebrating a day of love, and I want you to hold on to the thought of what's happening to our children while we listen to the counseling of one Al Jarreau. "I will be here for you," he says.
Yeah. wasted. If you wander far away, Zambia or Monterey, I'll be there for one to wash your tears away. Hey, I will be here for you. Baby, I will be here for you.
I'm sure that's a message that every lady out there wants to hear from her lover on St. Valentine's Day. And we may do something for the guys a little bit later on in the show as well. That message really is the answer to our problems. And certainly that message would have helped Miss South Carolina in her response to the map question. Anyway, let's take heart at the state of things going on in the world today and consider the education our children have gotten within the last 5 years, not to mention prior to that. It's time to bring on tonight's guest who's been waiting patiently in the wings. He hosts his own show Monday through Friday on the Micro Effect Network. It's called The Story Behind the Story. He has a website, atruot.com, and his name is Dr. A. Truot. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Don. I'm sitting here trying not to split a gut laughing too hard. Miss South Carolina, hoo-ah, U.S. Americans, us Americans. You know, you can play that 100 times and you still don't know what she was even trying to convey. She was, you know, it's what my grandmother would call constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. Brain stops working and her mouth just keeps running.
Yeah. I have to say, you know, one could say, well, you know, that's stage fright. She was nervous and she had no idea what the heck to say, but at least try to answer the question. I mean, what does South Africa or the Iraq have to do with map reading in the United States?
Well, she should have just been honest and say, map? What's a map? I mean, at least it would have got people cracking up, and it would have been honest. She probably would have won something. Do what could mean. My daughter, bless her heart, was in the pageants like this, and we had to sit and we went to Miss Utah pageants, and And we just coach her. I says, if you don't know something like that, just don't try and BS the audience. They can see right through that. And you just say, I really don't know.
She would have done well to say, I forgot the question.
Yeah, would you please repeat it again? Oh, please repeat it again. 100 times. But, you know, it's that type of dysfunction. You know, when you have simple, basic questions, why can't people read a map? A good answer would have been, well, because a lot of so-called Americans are aliens. They come from south of the border or maybe from someplace in the Near East.
Or Iraq.
And they have never seen a map before. Maybe. I don't know. It's just absolutely incredible.
Well, I thought to play that clip, Drew, because it parallels a certain politician that's out there these days. And I think you know who I mean.
Well, you know what, when Sarah Palin was on the was on the campaign trail with Mr. McCain, there were times I remember listening to her at the airport, waiting for a flight, and she would open up her mouth and absolutely, you know, absolutely, it's like she was under some kind of loss of senses. You know, it's almost like so there's times that she answers things very precise and very carefully and makes sense. There's other times where she is absolutely dysfunctional. And I guess, and I submit that's a pretty doggone good clue that she's a mind-controlled Manchurian. Her handler, like I've said before, is Heinz Kissinger. I mean, there's just, if anybody has studied the subject on MK Ultra, the so-called Manchurian candidates, and have read people like Kathy O'Brien and Bryce Taylor and you know, the paper trail back to Kissinger and others, you just have to shudder when you see Sarah Palin pictures and PR pictures coming out with her meeting with Heinz, a.k.a. Henry Kissinger, there in New York, and giving him a full frontal hug that's quite prolonged, in my opinion.
Even on the radio, that's risque.
You know? Yeah, I mean, if I actually want to throw up seeing that slimy war criminal being given a full frontal hug and then kissing him on the cheek, no less. I'm sorry. That tells me personally all I need to know about Miss Sarah Palin. But then there are people out there, Don, as you know, that are taking her seriously. How they can. This is not a beauty pageant. To run for the president is not a beauty pageant, though. You know, an illegal alien or an unnatural born citizen, as the case may be, can make it. I guess why not an airhead beauty pageant person? But Sarah Palin was asked to comment on the situation in Egypt, and this was a live interview. And the response was absolutely stunning. I don't know if I've been trying to find the actual clip of that. I think it'll be coming up shortly, but right now I couldn't locate it. I liked what you did with Miss South Carolina, speaking for all us Americans.
You know, I didn't even realize that was on your home page. Mm-hmm. I swear to you.
It's right there.
I didn't realize there was a reference to that. I just felt like, oh, Sarah Palin, I have a clip that I could play to sort of mirror how I perceive her.
That's about right. I can't do it justice in her voice, but I mean, this is about as airhead as a response as you'll ever hear. And how could anybody take this woman seriously? Now, it's not a gender bias, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, there's some women that I know personally. I'll have a couple on my show. Eileen Daneman, for one. We're going to be interviewing on Friday Andrea Soros. I'm telling you, these women, you ask them a question, and they'll give you rocket science back. And so,
you know,
to have
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you finished. I wanted to interject something. When this Arizona shooter story came out, the assassination of Judge Roll and the attempted assassination, the failed assassination of Congresswoman Gifford, what I wondered was why Sarah Palin came out. Suddenly Sarah Palin had to speak. But there's a connection with the players there in Arizona and Alaska.
There is, Don, and I commented on that. She used some, and I shared this with you as well as our friend Drew Raines, but she used just two words that stick right out like a sore thumb, and a few people in the media caught this, and there were raised eyebrows. I was one of those when she referred to this fallout against conservative right-wingers as a blood libel. That is completely a code, in my opinion. Blood libel, ladies and gentlemen, is a Yiddish term that goes back to the Jewish blood rituals. There's strong evidence, ladies and gentlemen, that at least in certain sects called the Sabbateans of Judah, ladies and gentlemen, the Sabbateans still do this practice of blood libel. It's literally a Jewish ritual murder. And I've been saying all along that the Loeffner thing was a ritual murder produced by a Manchurian candidate. Keep in mind, the media won't touch this, but Loeffner was Jewish. His mother, Amy, happened to be going to the same Reformed Zionist synagogue that Gifford attended. And this is very, in Tucson, with its, 2 million people, the congregation of this small, tiny Reformed Zionist congregation is a whole 100 families strong.
Mm-hmm.
What's the coincidence of that happening?
Are you ready for a bombshell? Amy Loeffner is not his birth mother. She's a stepmother. And I would venture to say that Loeffner may have been conceived and born in Alaska before he was taken down to Tucson. And trust me, Drew, you know my research. So
that's interesting. There's been different pictures coming up, but I posted those on my website. You have the pictures of so-called Jared Loeffner with a stocking cap on. His eyes are completely blue, clearly blue.
Mm-hmm.
Is clearly brown eyes. Now, part of the blood libel structures, as Arizona Wilder's interview with David Icke, for instance, there are many other ritual victims I know. There's a ritual where they, Crystal Gayle sings the song. It's a programming song. It says, "Don't it make my brown eyes blue?"
Mm-hmm.
There is. Arizona Wilder actually, wanted to change her hair color. her eye color was all important in this programming of these sex slaves and Manchurian candidates. I can't get how this could be even the same structured kid with eyes changing colors.
Yeah, that is an anomaly there in the photo. And you can see that because they posted the different photos as a collage on one story, and you can see that in one photo his eyes are blue, and the other they're brown.
Clearly.
So this is a psyop on the people of this country. Now, there's also a connection to Virginia Tech as well.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised at all with that. Of course there is. Most DARPA projects of Manchurian candidates go back, of course, to at least some files, if not actual programming being done there underground at Virginia Tech. So
now this is an Air Force operation, I will say, and that the handler of the shooter is very, very close to the shooter.
Well, let me go ahead and show what I posted this morning. I didn't even have a chance to talk about this on my show today, but I wanted to hit it with you tonight. And we'll come back and give you Sarah Palin's words of wisdom as we close the show, okay? Mm-hmm. And a good laugh as we go out.
Can we do that? Can I play a song before we do that?
Oh, of course. You bet.
All right. It'll be more effective.
Here's what I posted this morning, February 14th. Judge rule murder motive. Simply you decide. And this is all on my blog again, www.atrueot.com.
Now, is that on the homepage? Because I'd like to follow along with it.
It is. It is indeed. You just have to scroll down. Okay. It's about the third or fourth posting. So you just scroll down. It's today's date. Judge role, murder motive, ? You decide. I write, I just better just
okay.
Share this verbatim. You found it okay?
Yes. Go ahead.
John McCarthy Roll was a federal judge for the United States District Court for the District of Arizona. He joined the court in 1991 after being nominated by President George Herbert Walker Bush. Roll was shot and killed on January 8, 2011 in Tucson, Arizona, in a supposedly random shooting by a crazed, disconnected lunatic. Now, let me just say there, too, I haven't been able to 100% verify this, Don, but some of the eyewitness reports that I first heard was that Judge Roll was the first one gunned down and fell. He was the first one targeted. He wasn't just, wasn't like the sixth or seventh or eighth one. It was him, boom, boom, and then they opened up on the other people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so I say most Americans already know this fact. Many don't. Many people like our Miss South Carolina. Most Americans, however, do not know anything about what I call the story behind the story of Judge John Roll and why I personally believe he was monitored, stalked, and then shot and killed by a Manchurian candidate program killer named Jared Lee Loeffner. Think about it. In a high-level, politically motivated assassination such as President JFK, it would be highly desirable to make it look to be the random act of a crazed, lone gunman, lunatic shooter. That's been kind of the modus operandi all the way through with these high-profile cases.
Mm-hmm.
If this is indeed so, then what was the motive for the contract killing? I put out two facts that I'd be happy to send anybody the links to it. Okay, some of them are kind of sensitive, but fact number one is simply this. Before being appointed the chief federal judge of Arizona by President Bush, Judge Roll, in his position as a state judge, was accused and even brought before the bar in a complaint of being complicit in the machinations of a massive child abduction ring operating out of Arizona. And these allegations have all of the earmarks outlined by attorney John W. DeCamp in his seminal book, The Franklin Cover-Up, Child Abuse, Satanism, and Murder in Nebraska. This situation involved over 2,500 so-called missing children. And Judge Roll was, according to witnesses and complainants, deeply in the loop of this most heinous activity. So there we know he's involved in this situation. We have reports of airline officials in Denver that have a jet loaded up with these children, and no adults per se, just people with Child Protective Services badges flashing them. And this has to do with CPS in Arizona as well.
And this is the Finders.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah. So we see that whatever reason Judge Roll was covering and making rulings that were absolutely protecting this criminal activity. No doubt about that. Fact number two, an integral piece of the scandal involved Mexican drug cartel money being laundered through American bank accounts. Judge Roll had, in fact, authorized the seizure of hundreds of millions of drug cartels' funds and was openly defying U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder's demands to release the money to federal control, which I then submit would find its way quickly back to the original organized crime accounts where it was planned to go in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Roll refused to follow Holder's demands, and oddly enough, the Friday before his death on Saturday, the Friday, January 7th, he in fact issued a preliminary ruling that this seized drug money, not just in this particular case, but all of the cartel drug money there in Arizona, District of Arizona, which again was set a precedence for all drug Mexican drug cartel holdings, would be in state and or local control, way it should be, really.
Mm-hmm.
So think about it, ladies and gentlemen. When you have these massive amounts of money, there has to be bank accounts involved in this money laundering process.
And realistic. Correct? Well, if I can interject something here, Drew, there's an unmentioned connection to Chicago in this. And where you said sort of paraphrased, it's in a paragraph, original organized crime accounts. Now, is that pertaining to the East Valley and the West Valley, Maricopa County, Arizona crime families?
I believe it is, but okay. I'm not sure on that. There's linkage all across, of course, to these Jewish mafia lords from mm-hmm. Chicago to Maricopa County, and then of course the CIA training ground there as well. It's all definitely involved.
Yeah, and my research reveals that this is tied to Salt Lake City, or you could say Utah in general. Also, it's tied to Chicago, and this is part of the money laundering ring that's playing the real estate games and the ID theft as well, funded through cases generated out of Child Protective Services. There's a link.
There's the structure. So what happens is Judge Roll just basically says, for whatever reason, he's not going to mm-hmm. follow Attorney General Holder's demands, and then the next day he's dead, and he doesn't have to get the final ruling that would set it in stone. So the mm-hmm. question is, which bank appears to be involved in this large-scale money laundering process? Well, Saturday's Salt Lake Tribune, I pasted the actual story. The headline in the Salt Lake Tribune, Saturday, front page news, Saturday, February 12th. The headlines read, Feds slap Zions Bank over billions in illegal money transfers. This is what the first paragraph says. Two federal agencies have slapped Zions Bank with multi-million-dollar civil penalties for failing to monitor suspicious wire transfers of billions of dollars related to transactions that may have involved drug trafficking and other crimes. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency on Friday said it imposed an $8 million penalty against Zions for shortcomings in its anti-money laundering controls, clear violations of the Bank Secrecy Act and the USA Patriot Act. Now, in a statement, CEO Scott Anderson said the bank, quote, takes very seriously our obligations to comply with federal laws and regulations, including the Bank Secrecy Act. Anderson said Zions has closed down the business unit handling these money transfers and has been cooperating fully with regulators. The OCC said Zions had developed what's called a, quote, remote deposit capture product that allowed customers to deposit imaged financial documents, such as checks, into accounts in Mexico and other countries from remote locations, ostensibly in the United States. The product was marketed to high-risk customers in 2006 and 2007, quote, without sufficient regard to the Bank Secrecy and Patriot Act compliance implications, the OCC said. Wow. The Financial Crimes Network said Zions failed to report 132 cases of suspicious activity that represented more than $12.3 billion. Quote, these suspicious activities involved, among other things, sequentially numbered travelers' checks, possible black market peso exchange, transactions involving entities and accounts alleged to have been involved in drug trafficking activities, and unusual wire transfers, the Financial Crimes Network said in a document released Thursday. The agency said Zions Bank processed money transfers that indicated patterns commonly associated with money laundering, such as the nature of the business originators and beneficiaries in, quote, high-risk locations, which lacked any apparent business or legal purposes.
Now, if I can interrupt just for a second here, I'm looking at the date of this article published February the 12th, 2011. And if I didn't see that date, I would think this occurred around 1942 in Denison, Texas. The group that was forming the Eisenhower reception, let's put it that way. This is amazing.
Well, I thought you'd find that to be amazing because it's, ladies and gentlemen, Zions Bank in Utah is 100% wholly owned, lock, stock, and barrel by the LDS Mormon Church.
This connects to all the dots to my research too.
Well, I figured that you should read my blog a little more often.
Well, I've been kind of busy with my archives lately, but trying to keep up with the listeners. I've spent so much time on research that I've really had to let that take a back seat. But I see the dates here, and yet as I'm listening, I'm saying to myself, this is exactly what Lonnie Roberts was doing in Denison, Texas, beginning in 1942. And we have the proof. I published the proof that these strange, weird communications were going on with characters like James Forrestal and Lyndon Baines Johnson. Man, this is part of this machine that I keep describing, Drew, that's undermining the sovereignty of the United States.
Indeed, and yes, yet this is just the tip of the iceberg, as you know, Don, because okay, these are what they just happened to catch in their net. Okay, yeah. There's a whole lot more fish in the ocean than what just come up in the small little portion of the net here.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to remember, ladies and gentlemen, that this is worldwide in scope. It really does involve the illegal drug cartel, the opium poppy crop coming out of Afghanistan. And by the way, Don, you know, that whole that really incredible story in National Geographic on the Afghanistan poppy fields was just really told a lot there, if you know what to look for in between the lines.
Sure.
Oh my goodness. You know, it's right there, ladies and gentlemen. You just have to look behind the
wizard's
facade. Yeah, look behind the curtain. It documents how the Taliban all but eliminated the opium crop of 1999 and 2000. We come in there as, you know, arming the Northern Alliance warlords, and literally within a year, it's Drug Inc. back in production. You know, and this all goes through Pakistan into India to the refineries there to be made into so much of this pharmaceutical drugs that control the world economy.
Yes.
And follow the money, ladies and gentlemen. You find it going into these black ops. It's a very, very thing that's putting the entire world at risk now more than ever.
You know, earlier today, Drew, I was doing some research while I was waiting for sound files to bounce and convert to MP3s. A very tedious process. So I was doing some research while all these operations were going on, and I came upon something a couple of weeks ago that I went back to revisit, where there's a disclosure that Israel was in the process of selling nuclear weapons to South Africa. This story
right.
came out in 2010, and it went nowhere. You know, in terms of nothing in the mainstream media, very few people in the alternative media mention anything about it. And while these things are going on, these other false flag events keep cropping up to divert everybody's attention. You know, if you just compare dates as to when these events happen, you see a pattern there. I know you wanted to comment. I didn't intend to interrupt you.
No, I'm just saying just like you're saying, follow the money. The parallels between this and some Jewish gangsters like Meyer Lansky, Al Capone there in Chicago. Don't forget, ladies and gentlemen, these gangsters always keep, you know, a second set of accurate books, really. They're off the ledger accounts is what they're terminally, you know, called. We discussed on this show, Don, the Inspector General of the Federal Reserve being grilled by Mr. Grayson.
Oh yeah, I played the clip. Sure.
And she couldn't and wouldn't discuss the trillions, what, $7+ trillion, $9 trillion of off the ledger accounts she wouldn't and couldn't or wouldn't comment on. But what sent Al Capone to the big house was, you know, they finally got a hold of these books showing his money laundering, basically, how he channeled into real wealth. And that's what I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen. You gotta understand that these illegal drugs that come in from Mexico, they are indeed under some kind of organized protection. There's no doubt about it.
Well, when they're arresting border patrolmen who are doing their jobs and, you know, they're finally released, but they actually allow a Mexican drug dealer to come into this country to testify against two border patrolmen? What kind of insanity are we witnessing?
Indeed, and the Yuma County Sheriff's Department, when this whole thing broke with Loeffner, and I did the piece on the Santa Muerta, the death cult of the Mexican drug lords, these people that were actually arrested and the $300,000 was confiscated. These defendants were just basically deported. But they have, all of them had these tattooed images of the Santa Muerta skeleton holding the scythe, almost like the Grim Reaper. That's the icon of the Santa Muerta. This is a demonic structure, ladies and gentlemen, and these entities are used by the CIA in their mind control properties. That's what reformed Zionism, Reformed Judaism, so-called Zionism, is all about. It is part and parcel with something called the Sabbatean cult, Sabbatea Zvi is the name of this false messiah that came and drew quite a huge following officially from 1666, June actually, is when he was set up and coronated as the promised messiah. And a goodly portion of Jewish rabbis have followed him to this day. And you follow the story of the Sabbateans, you see that a goodly portion of their Jewish followers converted to Catholicism, but still remained their Sabbatean orgies, their blood libels, okay? When you hear the term blood libel, think of Sabbateans, ladies and gentlemen, Sabbateans by the rabbi, because that is what we're talking about here.
Yes. Now, after this Tucson event, and Sarah Palin came out, suddenly she's speaking out about this and giving a rah-rah speech about, I don't know what, running for the presidency? And then I began finding the connections to Alaska, and I said to myself, that's why she's there. She's part of the same group. She was indoctrinated and mind controlled along with the others that are operating out of Tucson. There's absolutely no doubt about that. True.
Okay. Well, when she has a prepared written statement by her, given to her by her handlers or staff member, whoever,
yes,
you know, she comes across quite intelligent, but it's like Obama with his monitors, ladies and gentlemen. You never see Obama in a press conference without his wires and his monitors whispering in his ear to saying exactly what to say. Well, that's Palin. And that's really the presidency. Let's face it; they're just a bunch of puppets that are being, you know, told what to say, and in fact, the words are put in their ears and in their mouth to say it. Indeed, Palin was way out in front on this issue in a way that just didn't make sense. Just like she was trying to hijack between her and Glenn Beck, trying to hijack the Tea Party movement.
Yeah, you know, I can't think of anything significant that she said during that campaign. I mean, what does the person stand for? There's nothing. There's no substance to it at all. It's a program. And it fits very well with the general public's programming when you got people that are living for American Idol and Dancing with the Stars and soap operas and sports extravaganzas. The men who are attracted to a pretty woman, and their eyes will make all the decisions for them. They won't make the decisions with their hearts. Their eyes will impact whatever decision their heart might make. So you're dealing with a person who's playing a role. She's an actress. She's programmed, though. She's not someone acting on any learned skill. She's not Meryl Streep, you know, but she's programmed. There is no doubt about that. There's even photographic evidence of that, which is, you know, too much to get into right now. But I don't make that comment lightly. And the association with Kissinger, and if you're to take what Bryce Taylor, a.k.a. Susan Ford, wrote in her book, Thanks for the Memories, about Henry Kissinger and Bob Hope, who was her handler, and the training she went through with Kissinger, or I should say programming, and torture and things that are just unimaginable. The history is there. This is not the first, what they call, presidential model that they've introduced to the public. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, just when we go over this her actual words spoken in concerning Egypt, you have to just shake your head and imagine this beauty queen in a beauty pageant with this type of disconnected, dysfunctional brainstem. Imagine her with her nails, her her wardrobe, her clip-on nails, whatever she has on the nuclear button. Because, you know, that's what's really scary, Don, is the President of the United States has control over the nation's nuclear armaments.
Yeah.
And you got to have somebody with some IQ in there, you would think. Again, but anyway.
Well, it's all being run by the puppet masters now. Well, before you read that, if as promised, I would like to contribute a song.
Let's do it.
This is for the guys out there, okay, who are still celebrating St. Valentine's Day, listening to this show, wondering what the heck it has to do with St. Valentine's Day. This is in the words of Chaka Khan as she describes what it's like to go through the fire. you're going to think I'm crazy, True, but if Sarah Palin could sing like that, especially on Valentine's Day, I would say, oh, heck, make her president. Who cares?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. I guess she's a pretty face, and she's a better looker than Obama. That's about it. Here's what she said when asked to comment about what's going on in Egypt. Now, if you can follow this, ladies and gentlemen, I guess you must speak airhead. She said, quote, and nobody yet has. Nobody yet has explained to the American public what they know. And surely they know more than the rest of us know who it is who will be taking the place of Mubarak. And not real enthused about what it is that's being done on a national level and from D.C. in regards to understanding of the situation there in Egypt. And in these areas that are so volatile right now, because obviously it's not just Egypt, but the other countries too, where we are seeing uprisings, we know that now more than ever, we need strength and sound mind there in the White House. We need to know what it is that America stands for, so we know who it is that America will stand with. And we do not have all that information yet.
You should ask the people in the Iraq.
The Iraq.
It sounds like she's running for running in a beauty pageant, competing for Miss Teen USA. Doesn't it?
Let's just say this. Extemporaneous speaking is not her strong suit.
My goodness. What was she trying to say there?
No idea. She, like I said, constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. It's not just the first time. If you go back she was really a liability to McCain in so many ways, because if she was in a press conference, everything was scripted, or she had an earphone that they could whisper to her what to say, she did okay. But man, off the cuff, extemporaneously, she was an absolute airhead Barbie doll. I'm telling you.
Yeah, there's no doubt about the fact that they've had her as part of the program. There's no doubt.
I think everybody that runs for any public office ought to have a battery of IQ tests. How does that sound? Let's see how smart they are, and let's make sure they don't get cheat sheets to fudge on the answers.
Well, you know, that goes all the way to the White House too. The same criteria. I mean, here we've got somebody who's lying about their background, lying about where they're born, lying about all sorts of things. And,
you know, Don, I kind of watched a little bit of news on TV, just a little blip here and there. And I think I'm pretty much lined into the national news media stories. But how about this Pakistan story with this guy named Davis? That's a huge story. Absolutely huge story, this Ray Davis. It's just because of who he works for. How does a guy who has a private protection company as his listed job in Las Vegas, how does this guy get diplomatic immunity to go over to Pakistan and shoot and kill two Pakistanis on the street? That's the first question. How does he even get a gun there?
Well, as a diplomat, he probably wasn't searched or frisked. Probably didn't go through one of those scanners at the TSA counter. Well, it's by design. One would think all he has to do is stop by a military post in Afghanistan and pick up all the ammunition and weapons he needs.
Well, there's this EU Times, European Union Times, and I don't know who these guys are. I've had some interactions with them through people saying that they're tied to there's a contact outlet with Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, and then you've got other people saying they are rogue MI5 agents out of Britain, the UK, and Germany. Oh, please. I don't know. The story that they put out about this Davis got me alerted, because, Don, I had talked about Project Northwoods back in October of 2001 on my radio show, and proceeded to get my show canceled following a lot of hate mail and a lot of threats, a lot of people saying, you know, love this country or leave it, you know, after I basically drew the parallels between the events of 9/11 and this 1962 Project Northwoods. And I've never heard anybody else, for the most part, draw the same parallel. So here's this, whoever they are, whether they're American or not, they hit, to me, all the right buttons, showing the continuation, the mindset of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and those neocon Zionists that really would not blink an eye at sacrificing thousands of American innocent civilians to further their goals and needs. Okay, that's the key point here in this story.
Yeah, I have a question about the writer. How confident are you about the source of this information?
What are you talking about? European Union, the EU.
Well, no, we're talking about the Ray Davis story, okay? The writer. How confident are you as to who the writer might be affiliated with?
Well, which one are you talking about, Don? We've got two different stories there if you look at the Post.
Well, the first Post, which is dated February 9th of 2011, Nick Schifrin.
Yeah, I don't know. That's on the official ABC News website, and that ABC News ran some blips on that. But what I just posted that as confirmation of the European EU Times story that I posted before. I did that because there's been a number of people that came on and said the EU Times is source of foul. Same type of thing as source you file. I don't know.
Well, if I look at, I know the name Schifrin, where that comes from, because of a very well-known music composer, arranger, and producer by the name of Lalo Schifrin, who wrote the theme from Mission Impossible, for example, and some other movie scores. Fabulous composer. I recognize the name Schifrin. Is one would say, well, it's a Jewish name. And just looking at the location of the writer, he's in Encino, Brooklyn, and New York. So he's got connections in the West Coast and the East Coast.
But see, if you do search for that, you really only see that story cropping up on ABC News. You don't see it on Reuters. You don't see it on Bloomberg. You don't see it on USA Today. You see it there at ABC. You also see the EU Times. And I don't know who's behind that. I don't think anybody can really know that.
It has the feeling of an intelligence agency.
It does. It does indeed.
Okay.
But it has CIA spy captured giving nuclear bomb to terrorists. But it's really expanding on this simple ABC timeline story. The two things jumped out at me as I read this. It just kind of sent shivers up my spine. Here's somebody talking about Project Northwood. And this is exactly what I've been saying, although I got beat up for it as early as 2001. I've been saying the same thing. Here you have also, according to this source, the EU Times, they're saying that the papers confiscated by the Pakistani ISI detailed terrorist cells tied to this black ops CIA group operating in the United States with nuclear bombs material, aka, I would assume, suitcase nukes, plus biological weapons. Now, the top bad dog of biological weapons, I submit, would be this VX nerve gas. There's the same time frame now. Here we have Dugway Proving Grounds having a lockdown because a vial of VX nerve gas turns up missing. It wasn't put back in the right place. They said in the news conference, the U.S. Army said, that it was being tested and it had just been misplaced. Now, Don, I'm telling you, this is connected. I feel it deeply in my gut for two reasons. Back there was a flap over a whistleblower, a Dugway, leaking out that there was vast amounts of VX nerve gas being transported into Dugway Proving Grounds from someplace back east. This was categorically denied by the current commander of Dugway. This has been a decade or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
Says VX, we don't have the facilities or the storage capabilities to handle this most virulent chemical weapon. Well, now they're saying they do have at least one vial. And the point I'm making is why. If you have this on premise and you're supposed to be storing it, according to the international treaties on chemical weaponry, right? Why are you testing it for?
I was going to ask that question. Why did it need to be tested?
If it's no longer viable, all the better.
Why was it created in the first place?
And so why are you testing it for? Who's selling it and who's buying it? That's the question.
Yeah, I did a show a couple of weeks ago called We Have Short Memories, and it was a rant, okay? And I said that many times throughout the show. And I wanted to remind the listening audience, and you, Drew, that there was an incident. You remember the Minot Air Force Base incident?
Mm-hmm.
Where a nuclear weapon ended up missing, and I had discerned that it had been taken to Nellis Air Force Base. Now, wouldn't it be ironic if, let's say, 2012, that the jackpot prize for the dollar slots in one of the major hotels in Las Vegas was giving away that weapon? I mean, things are that crazy right now that there's no accountability for anything that's going on in this world.
Well, indeed, this EU Times story goes and explains this Davis guy. He's a Las Vegas resident, and his business is centered there in Las Vegas. I just think it's all way too coincidental, Don.
Mm-hmm.
I think this EU Times, whoever he or she is, I think they pegged it. I really do.
Well, then you've got to ask yourself, who are the EU Times? You know,
and that's what the big question is: are they source or foul? I don't think so. The Southern Poverty Law Center thinks they're completely disinformation, skinhead neo-Nazis.
And who are the Southern Poverty Law Center?
They're the Sabbatean cult, absolutely.
They're. Well, this is quite an interesting story, and I appreciate you allowing me to play that song for our male listeners out there.
Well, I appreciate you focusing on the hearts of Valentine's. You know, I love Sarah Palin. She is such a good looker. She can go hunting with me anytime.
Do you think she'll ever go with Dick Cheney, though? That's the big question. Who will come back alive?
That's right. Who shoots quickest? Who has the quickest trigger finger?
All right. Well, Drew, I appreciate you being on the show. I want to, again, remind the listeners about your radio show and your website. Do you want to give them that information?
Yes, thanks, Don. The website is www.atrueott.com. The story behind the story is my radio show. It's on the Micro Effect, which is just you can do the live stream, themicroeffect.com. And it airs from 10 a.m. till noon Mountain Time, or 12 to 2 p.m. on the East Coast. Thanks, Don. Appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, True, and I wish you the rest of the holiday. You still have another almost an hour, 52 minutes to celebrate St. Valentine's Day. So I appreciate you coming on and giving your time and your vast knowledge on what the heck's going on. And I guess we'll see you next Monday.
Indeed. Good night.
All right. Good night. Folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. A. True Ott. A special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints, either live or in an archive. And over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I want to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when my special guests will be Mr. Ken Adachi and Z.S. Livingstone. In the meantime, again, have a happy St. Valentine's Day, and I wish everyone a night filled with peace, lots of love and light, and have a good night.